Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Valley View Village, an adult community offering a complete continuum of care, including independent living, assisted living, skilled and long-term care. Learn more about this community at valleyviewvillage.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We drive on it, walk on it, run on it, bounce balls, ride bikes, scooters, and skateboards. Sometimes we trip on it, but it doesn't last forever. Home improvement expert Bill McAnally is here today. We're going to start the hour talking about concrete and other paving solutions. Hello, Bill.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Nice drive today.
Good. Everybody who has a driveway and a sidewalk has to deal with this at some point or another. And I think a lot of us really try to ignore cracks and, when the sidewalk starts to heave and become dangerous. Because this is one of the most dreaded chores of all, either paying for it or doing it yourself. So when do you have to come to terms with the fact that maybe your driveway needs to be repaved?
You know, everybody has a different standard. Mine would be, luckily, my driveway is gravel, and so very, very little maintenance. It should get more maintenance than it does, but up to the garage, though, I have, an apron, what they call the, concrete slab out in front. And one thing about that one, it's been there now for 18 years, and it has, it has some cracks, which concrete always cracks. I mean, if somebody complains about cracks, it always cracks. I mean, that's what they always say. Don't worry, it will. That's one of the guarantees. But, you put cuts in it so that you control the cracks. But right. If you have a lot of, let's say, random cracks, and then they're at different heights, that's when it can be an issue. Sometimes it's just a nuisance, like when you're pushing the shovel and you smack into it. And then, you want to replace it. Of course, that's in the middle of winter, and you usually can't. But you can grind. If there's deviations in height, you can hire someone to come in. There's a lot of concrete grinding services in Iowa. It's become very, very good business for people. And they'll come along and soften those edges. And so that might give you a few years more. But what that does, what the cracks are telling you is something's going on down below. And when you replace the concrete, what you want to do is not repeat that again. And in the past, we didn't pay enough attention to the foundation of, like, our sidewalks and our driveways. We didn't pay attention to what was underneath it. We just, a lot of people would just scrape the sod off and level the dirt that was there. And without having, a layer of 2 to 4 inches of, like, clean gravel or aggregate underneath it for water to get away, so it won't pool and basically mirror the frost heaving that of the soil in contact with it, we would have all kinds of issues. We would use sand in places where we'd maybe throw a foot or 2 foot of sand and expect that to hold the concrete up for 40 years. Eventually it settles. And we made a lot of mistakes in the past, and even in garages, you see heaving inside garages because we didn't do our due diligence underneath the slab and get that correct. And there's so many educational tools now, the do-it-yourself channels and all that. They show some things, but usually what you want to do is get a person has a lot of experience with concrete and ask them for their training, what they've done, and have them come over and take a look at your driveway, because in some cases it's just going to be a lot easier to go ahead and grind it down, say, okay, I'll get another 10 years out of it. And it slopes maybe the wrong way for cosmetics, but if it slopes, say, maybe towards your house, and now when it rains, water goes to the foundation, then you may want to replace it even if it doesn't have deviations in height.
So reading between the lines here, Bill, what I'm hearing is if there's a problem with my concrete, I can't just smooth over the top of it. I can't just cover the problem.
Sometimes you can. There are companies that will go ahead and put a maybe 1 or 2 inch surface over the top. Sometimes that's temporary. There are some hydraulic cements that will fill in big pits, or you can just put some leveling concrete or leveling cement where you might have a deviation in height and patch it. But remember, there's always tripping hazards. And a lot of times, you know, people think, well, we're just driving the vehicles across there. Well, you know, you're walking across there. And so you have to look at that. And what, a lot of times what people don't look at as well is many of our sidewalks and driveways, where they come up against the house, they butt up against a set of steps. And our steps have to be the same height. You know, they're not supposed to be more than, you know, an eighth inch, quarter inch difference in height. And so if you step off your steps and all of a sudden you're going 9 inches instead of seven, or you're going 5 inches instead of seven, you're going to either jar your back or your trip, unless it's your set of steps. You get used to it, but somebody else may not. And so you have to look at that kind of ancillary issue all the way around. What does it affect?
Right. And a lot of us in older homes have cement steps that are tilting off of the side of our houses as well, with issues about the foundation.
And there again, that was where back in the past we didn't take into effect that that soil was going to settle.
Okay, so we come to terms with the fact that we need to do something about this. How do you feel about do-it-yourself cement work? Because you can go to the big box store and you can buy bags of cement, and they have the instructions right there on the side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. you know, and it can, in some cases, if it's very small job, like maybe 100 square feet or less, I would say. And that's just me personally. But you can buy the bags. You know, they're half a cubic foot. Well, it takes 27 cubic feet to make a cubic yard. And that's usually when you buy concrete from a truck, it's, you know, so much a cubic yard. And let's just pick a number that it's $150 a cubic yard. Well, if you're going to pour a small one, they're not going to run a truck out there and a driver and everything for $150. They charge you a minimum. And in most cases, they'll charge you for 3 yards. So here you go, you know, $500, $600 for a little area. In cases like that, it may work to do it that way. But what I found, you don't want to buy the super cheap on sale stuff, because it doesn't usually, in my opinion, have enough Portland cement in it. It's kind of it might say it's like, say, 2,500 psi pound per square inch strength concrete. For a truck or something to drive over, that usually I always poured concrete at 4,000 pounds, so it's higher strength than that. So we would always add a little extra Portland cement, because concrete and cement are two different things. Cement is like when you cement something together. That's what it does, is it holds all the aggregate together. And so you have cement, you have aggregate, you have water, and maybe some other admixtures or something, chemicals you put in it. But when you buy it in a bag, there's a lot of labor involved. You want to make sure that you start and you just keep going, because concrete, as it sets up, as they call it, it's hydrating, and so it gives off heat. And if the sun's out or if there's a wind, you know, all of a sudden, if you're going real slow, dinking around, it's not going to hold together very well. You're not going to have a good product. And the downside, too, is it's a hazardous material. It never used to be recognized that way. But when you get concrete on that bill, it's stating on there, hey, this stuff is hazardous. It's an acid. So if you don't have gloves on, especially, and some people, they better be wearing a mask. If they're mixing bags of concrete, you inhale concrete dust. It's very bad for people. So it is heavy. You know, the bags are 60 to, you know, 90 pounds. And so
Do your due diligence.
Yes, do
find
your due
out
diligence.
What you're getting into.
And have somebody burly around.
Maybe take on a small project.
Yeah.
Or maybe come up with a bigger project if you have a small project.
And that's what you do, is you get along with maybe your neighbors. Hey, let's all pool together in the truck and just zoom around.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk briefly about patios, or, hey, you know, I want a backyard basketball court,
sure,
something like that. Laying down a new cement pad.
Right.
It's not that simple.
No, it isn't.
What do you have to know before you get into that?
Well, you know, a lot of times people will look at cost. Don't look at the cost so much as the experience of the person that's doing the work and how they're going to prep it. And how am I going to get the concrete to that, like, say, that patio or that basketball court. Let's say you're going to put a little basketball court up, and let's say it's 20 foot by 20 foot or something like that. If you've got to go across the yard to get there, first of all, you're not going to have the truck because that thing might weigh 40,000 pounds. And if he's going to back up on your sidewalk, okay, now you're going to end up replacing your sidewalk. And if somebody took the cheap way to do your driveway and it's thin, it's going to ruin your driveway. So you have to think not just, hey, I really want to have this patio. Well, yeah, but how are we going to get there? So a lot of times they may have to wheelbarrow or use, you know, these little motorized carts to take the concrete back there to pour. So it's all these outside things that you need to understand, you know, there may be some issues that you have to put rock underneath it and level the ground that's there. And if they don't put enough rock and they maybe pour on the original soil, okay, you're probably going to have some big cracks. Do you want it colored? You know, do you want it stamped, you know, with a design in it? You know, those things run up the cost. But a lot of times it's the issues of getting the concrete there and the cleanup that this is where you need somebody that's a professional. I mean, right. somebody that's American Concrete Institute, that they have certifications, make sure they're certified, make sure their insurance is there, because take pictures of your driveway, your sidewalk, and the apron, which is between the street and the sidewalk. Take a lot of pictures and document what cracks are there before somebody comes over, because... Right.
Because not just the truck is heavy, but it's got a heavy load on
it
as well.
Yeah, very heavy, very heavy. And in some cases, the streets, I've run into that before, where the streets will not allow, it's amazing, they build a house down there, but now the streets are so bad, they won't allow a truck that big to go. Well, the guy shows up with, you know, 10 cubic yards, 40,000 pounds of weight in a truck. Now, what am I going to do with it?
Wow.
Yeah, and he's not going to pay for it.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll start taking your calls. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Home improvement expert Bill McAnally is here today. We've been talking about concrete, but of course, you can ask questions about any of the home improvement projects in your life. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Concrete first, you get some gravel, pour it in the valve. You mix a mess of mortar, you add some meth and water, see the Mallaroonie come out, slurp, slurp, slurp.
Cement mixer, putty, putty. Cement mixer, putty, putty. Cement mixer, putty, putty.
Who wants a bucket of cement?
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Valley View Village, an adult community offering a complete continuum of care, including independent living, assisted living, skilled, and long-term care. Learn more about this community at valleyviewvillage.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. We've been talking about concrete so far this hour, but we are here to answer your questions about any of the home improvement projects in your life. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. John is on the line in Washington. Hello, John.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a driveway just like yours. It is gravel up to the apron in front of the garage. The apron is made up of four, I'm thinking they're 12 by 12 foot squares of concrete.
Okay.
They're perfect. No
yep.
cracks. One of the squares is starting to sink. Are these guys on late night TV when I'm watching Chuck Norris reruns, right? Are they a sham or does it work?
Do you mean where they like do a mud jack and raise it up from the bottom?
Yeah.
Is that the commercial you're watching?
Yeah, they say we'll take this corner and we'll raise it up so the whole thing is level again.
Yeah, and all you do is look for a mud jacking service, and they will pump a slurry of concrete cement mix, sometimes a real heavy strength. They'll pump that underneath, and yes, it does raise it. In fact, they raise buildings doing this type of method. Some people use foam, and some people use concrete. That's totally up to you. I would find out exactly which one has better guarantees and what type of maybe soils around that. But, you know, I have seen the mud jacking where we use the concrete, and that works very well. That's exactly what I have. I have the 412 by 12s, and mine haven't settled, but I've got a couple small cracks in mine, and I know why it's there because I had a bunch of geothermal wells put underneath. And anyway, but get a hold of a mud jacking service.
Well, the reason I hesitated is because they are perfect. So yep. I will look for a mud jacking service. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thanks a lot for your call, John. That late night TV watching paying off.
Hey,
that's
as long as
great.
It's Chuck. What would Chuck do?
All right. Jim is on the line next in West Des Moines. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I have a home in a rural subdivision and lived there a long time, and we had an in-ground pool that was had a vinyl liner. Had a great time in the summertime. The kids have great memories, but that was then and this is now. It's been a few years now. The vinyl's gone. It's basically a hole in the ground, and I'm getting ready to sell the place. And the insurance company, among others, are saying, well, you've just got to fill that in.
Right.
And that probably is the best option.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is.
As I look around, Bill, trying to find somebody to do that specific thing, I'm having a heck of a time finding the right kind of people to do it who are willing to do it. And the second part of the question is, are there this is county, it's not in a city, it would be county regulations. Are there regulations or a certain way that you have to fill in that space?
You know, I'm glad you asked that because it seems like I've run into unbelievable difference from county to county to county. And you would have to go to, the county, like planning and zoning, and ask them if they have specific requirements, because it really depends on your type of soils. They may require you to fill it with clay. They may require you to fill it with something that is maybe free draining, like a gravel mix or something. And some may just say, hey, you know, you can just fill it with anything. We don't even want to know about it. It really depends on the county. But if you want, it's usually a landscaping service, somebody that does heavy landscaping. They usually have the smaller track type equipment that will go across your yard and not put big indentations. They'll have skid loaders, you know, with the tracks on them rather than the wheels, so that they don't compact your soil. I'd look for somebody like that. Usually they'll be the ones that maybe handle that size of a hole.
Well, and Jim, presumably, in spite of the fact that you're moving out of the house, you want this to be something that's not going to sink
yes.
or settle after you move. You want to have a kind of a surface that a lawn can grow on. So, Bill, what should he fill it with?
You know, if down in the hole, take a look at the sides of the hole that you have right now. If it's old, just take a spade and you can run down the side of the wall of the pool, and then you can get a look at what the cross section of the soil is. Mirror what's there, and yeah, you should if you're going to sell that, you know, normally we'd recommend putting clay in there, and you know, and compact it, and then put it just depends how you feel, what type of soils you've got on top, but we would usually put at least a foot and a half of soil, because you don't know what they're going to sell. Somebody would say, you need some topsoil, throw a couple inches on it. Well, even if you put grass seed down, you're going to always see that shape. So you want to match the depth of the soil that you have. In your case, you may have 4 feet of soil. Well, you know, a couple feet of, I mean, 4 feet of black soil. Well, a couple feet of black soil on the top. Yes, it's going to be expensive, but at least morally, you're doing the right thing. I wouldn't just pack a whole bunch of clay and make it like a driveway and then throw a little bit of dirt over the top, because you're always going to see that difference. Because there's
like a crop circle.
It's exactly what it'll be. Yeah, maybe make some money off of that. But yeah, that's I would match what's there.
All right, Jim, good luck with that project. Frustrating to work on a project like that right before sell a house.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Charlie's up next in Kansas City. Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
Hi.
A timely program here. I've got a cement floor driveway, and in the recent years, about 7 years ago, I put a sealer on it. So it's due for another sealer. But I've developed some, with the kids home in college and whatnot, some oil spots, those firework stains from those darn snakes that they do in the firework season, those kind of things. I'm just wondering what I can do to prep it and to clean that up as good as I can. You know, I've been told everything from, you know, you really can't do anything to using some gasoline to some products you can buy. What would be the best solution for that?
If I were you, I'd call the Iowa Ready Mix Association. And
he's in Kansas City.
In Kansas City?
Yes, I'm just traveling through.
Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what, Kansas City, Missouri will have the same thing. They'll have like the Missouri Ready Mix Association, and okay. the only reason I'm saying that is because different parts of the country, they use different types of aggregates for in their concrete mix. So your mix down there may be different than our mix, and what we recommend to take a stain out and what they recommend to stain out may be completely different. So I would get with the Missouri Ready Mix Association, and usually they'll kind of know wherever you live. Probably they'll know exactly what company or companies that are in the area that would do it and what type of mix was required in their area. And then they'll be able to help you come up with a cleaner, or a lot of times that's all it's going to be is just a cleaner to help take the stain out. Some stains you're not going to be able to get out.
Okay, so there's not like maybe a general
they
process.
Just
use
a little seltzer.
Yeah, they make them, and it might work for you. You know, you can buy them at hardware stores, you know, concrete stain cleaners. But if you wanted to do it right, you know, they offer their services for free. And I would ask them, and they would be able to recommend the correct product.
Because there's a lot of
stuff out there that you can buy, and it isn't going to work for you. In some cases, it might make it worse. It's like cleaning carpet. You know, if you've got, let's say you've got some pets, and all of a sudden, you know, you don't read the directions about try it in a small area. Oh, that's just hooey. Well, you try it on that one spot, and all of a sudden, every time you walk across the room,
that's the only thing you see.
That's all you see is that super clean spot that took all the coloring out.
Oh, Charlie, thanks a lot for your
call. Thanks, Charlie.
Next up, we've got John in Spencer. Hi, John.
Hi. Hi, Bill.
Hi, John.
I got a quick question for you. I'm doing a 70-foot driveway up here at my place at the lake. I don't know if it's better to use the mesh or like a number 6 rebar. I don't really have a lot of heavy traffic, but a lot of traffic on the drive.
Yeah, I always do rebar, and that's just me. I always pour driveways, you know, 6 inches, you know, 5.5, 6 inches, usually 3/8 or 1/2 inch rebar. The wire mesh, it just basically kind of handles things while it's going through its basically 28-day, you know, curing process. And I know that with the re-rod that when it cracks, it's not going to go up and down because, you know, like John, we never know who's going to back down that driveway. And, that's why we, and then we always put like 4 inches of clean limestone underneath ours. Now it's kind of overbuilt and it sounds like a commercial method of doing, you know, the driveways, but I would rather err on, I only want to do it once and want to make sure it's good. And I know 7 day foot, it's going to get a little pricey, but you know, the concrete, you know, isn't so much an upgrade going from maybe to 5.5 inches rather than, you know, 3.5, but I would never, you're probably going to pour at least 5.5 anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, and I work for Great Lakes Concrete.
Good.
Price ain't going to be that much. I was just curious. And now I have one more question. Rock, the river rock that I had down, I probably got about 2 or 3 inches of that. Now, if I just put a limestone on top of that and then tamp it, that would be good enough?
Oh, yeah. You know, in fact, if you've got, that should be plenty. And most of the times, it's really funny, you know, the engineers I've worked with before, they always rib me when I'll run a plate packer across the rock, and they'll always say, you know, how do you pack rock? Which, you know, you're just kind of, you know, taking the rock and kind of pushing all the edges together. And the reason I like to pack it, because that way I got a perfectly smooth surface is basically what I'm trying to go for. So, the smoother that surface is underneath the concrete, the less chance that it's going to, you know, have a weak spot in that concrete and cause a crack at the top. So you could probably get that concrete for like, what, $20 a yard or so? Yes, not.
That'd be nice. Way back when I worked for you, it might have been close to that, but not, yeah. Not anymore. That's been 25 years.
Yep, you're right there.
All right, John.
Unless Park can get a good deal for me. You guys, I just want to say hi to you, and thanks a lot. Hey. I like listening to your show.
Hey, thanks, John. Bye.
You're welcome, lady. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send an email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Elizabeth is up next in North Liberty. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello. So my neighbors built a driveway last year, and since then, well, they basically covered a big portion of their backyard with concrete. And since then, they said that the water is no longer sloping into their basement, but I think now it's draining and pooling in between our two driveways.
Okay.
In a little section of dirt there. And our basement has started flooding along that side of the house. And so... We're wondering about putting in a French drain or some kind of a tiling system.
Yeah.
And if that's something that's do-it-yourself, how we would go about figuring out how deep to put it and if we need to connect it to the sewer tile and that kind of thing.
Are you in a town?
Yes, in North Liberty.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, North Liberty. I would get with their building inspector, first of all, and see if he has specific depths, and in some communities they want water run to certain areas, and if you tie it into, say, the storm sewer system or something like that, I'd get them involved. Plus, if they've done this and now you have water, you know, they should be paying for at least half of this anyway. That's my personal opinion from me. no legal opinion there, but just they should, because if you didn't have that before and now they've caused it, you know, they should actually be, you know, helping you with that. And normally, especially if you bring the inspector, he'll probably say he or she'll probably say the same thing. Hey, we need to take care of this.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thanks a lot for your call, Elizabeth. 866-780-9100. Let's get to a few email questions because we have a lot of them. This one's from Tom. He says, can you discuss slab leveling either with a slurry or a foam injection?
Yeah.
And we just talked about that a little bit earlier with the mud jacking, right?
Right. That's basically the same thing.
Okay.
Is when you level a slab, when someone will come in with an injection system, they'll push it underneath your existing maybe portion of the driveway or sidewalk, whatever you want to lift. And as it expands or they put more under pressure, it raises it to the correct level. There's a really good place for foams. I'm not bashing foams at all, but it also depends what's underneath. It may depend also on how much water is in your area, where, you know, some foams over time may break down. Some foams over time may absorb some water. So you would want to make sure there's some sort of a guarantee there as well. I have a friend that does the mud jacking and slurring, and I really like what they can do with it.
All right. Here's Tim in Ankeny. He says, I have a 3-year-old concrete drive. It has open lines from where they cut the concrete for expansion. My two questions are, one, is it a good idea to use a driveway caulk to seal the joints so water does not go down in between the slabs to avoid future freeze-thaw issues?
Yes, it is. And what you want is a very good concrete a joint type, like basically a urethane type of caulking. And you want to air blast those out if you possibly can, or use a pressure washer to get all of the dirt out of there. And if you use a pressure washer, wait till it's clean again. And when you look at those caulking...
Wait till it's dry again. When you get
what did I say?
Clean.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Thank you. To make sure that it's dry again. And you look for the self-leveling ones. And now some people will put a caulking cord, you know, they're usually like a gray foam cord, so that you don't fill the whole thing up. And that works very well too. So if the cracks are different widths, you push caulking cord down a ways and caulk over the top. And some of them you can tool, which means you can smooth them out, and some of them you just let self-level, depending on what brand you buy.
All right, his second question, does a driveway coating or sealing applied to the concrete driveway provide any protection or benefits? One of my coworkers claims that snow and ice doesn't stick to the driveway and it's easier to shovel.
I don't know about that part, but yeah, they recommend, most concrete companies recommend that you do it like every couple of years, like a silicone-based sealer.
Oh my gosh, there's so much more work to be done.
yeah, there you go. See, but what you don't want to do is you don't want to use salt, and you know it's hard to use sand, and especially on the first 3-4 years, you know, and you absolutely in the first 2 years do not use any salt on fresh concrete, because you know if you go to complain about all the pits in your concrete, that's the first thing you're going to ask, did you use any salt? And you better be a really good liar if you you know, because they'll know that that's why it's that way. So that's the worst thing people can do, is use salt on fresh concrete.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Our home improvement expert Bill McAnally is here today to answer your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Valley View Village, an adult community offering a complete continuum of care, including independent living, assisted living, skilled, and long-term care. Learn more about this community at valleyviewvillage.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. We've been talking a lot about concrete and other paving solutions, but of course you can ask any of your home improvement questions. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talks and email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org.
Yes, except Bill? Wallpaper.
Okay, no wallpaper questions.
Let's stick on this concrete. This is great.
All right, well, we're going to move away from it for a little while because Mary in Washington has a spackling question.
Oh.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
What's your question?
Well, I have 7 small spots throughout my cottage that need to be spackled. And so the professional that came in that followed up the construction was just kind of zip in, zip out. And so now I have like a 2x2 spot in 6 places throughout the house. So I hired another painter, and the firm that I went to buy this stuff said, well, just buy the orange peel spackle.
Okay.
Well, he didn't follow the instructions. And now it just looks like a puff.
It did. So you're saying they're trying to match the texture on the walls?
Well, I'll come close.
Yeah.
I don't own the place. I'm a renter.
Okay.
But it's by the light switches. they moved the thermostat, and it just drove me crazy because instead of having the kitchen 2-degree cooler, it meant that the refrigerator and stove were at the temperature that I set the thermostat off, and the rest of the house was 2 degrees colder.
Okay.
So they did come back at no charge and move them again. But there's these teeny tiny spots where things were taken out, and then the professional that I wasn't paying, that the owner paid for, he just really didn't like the small job. And then the second painter was just...
So, yeah, you know, usually on those small ones, we'll use those small cans of texture as well. But, you know, because they come in, well, depending on the style, some have, at the top of the can, you can adjust the size of the texture.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, if you don't read the directions, and, I found out it's more in how long you shake it. It seems like everybody wants to just shake it for maybe 10 or 15 seconds and start spraying. You have to shake it the amount of time that can says and do a test spot, before you get on to that patch. And he is going to have to overspray, you know, if, let's say it's a 2 foot by 2 foot area. It's 2 foot by 2 foot or 2 inch?
By... 2 inch by 2 inch.
Okay.
We're talking little bitty one, but they're right where you turn the lights on and off, and in particular by the kitchen door, it just makes me mad every time I look at it.
Yeah, what you can do is you know, sand that down, that area, and then hit it, you know, get the can and respray that. But do spray an area about, you know, 12, you know, feather it out, like maybe go 12 inches in a circle, even if that's only 2 inches, so it blends it in. Because if some person comes in and just shoots it straight on, it's going to look worse than what you started with. And if they don't, in many cases, depending on a lot of times on a rental, they're not using maybe the best of paints, so you may have to prime that before you put your final coat on, because otherwise you're going to see it, especially if the sun catches it at the right angle, like coming in a window, and you'll see that spot. So you want to flare that out and actually repair a larger area.
Could you hang a tiny picture there?
There we
Mary?
Go. Hang a false thermostat right over the top of it. So you have three of them on there. That would
there so
you go.
Cool.
Hey, Post-it notes are cheap.
Well, that'd be good.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, yeah, I just thought he didn't read the directions.
Yeah.
And it's like, and my sister came in and looked at that. Oh, Mary, don't worry about it. Just put paint on top of it. Well, my problem is every time I look at it, it makes me mad.
Well, I know my dad had a bunch of rentals. He'd just say, don't look at it. But that's
well,
too easy.
Well, good luck, Mary. I hope you get that fixed. Next up, we've got Kurt in North Liberty. Hi, Kurt. Oh, I think we've lost Kurt.
Oh, no.
Although Kurt wanted you to talk about concrete versus asphalt on driveways.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well,
that's a good question.
It is a good question. And, you know, concrete, generally, kind of a rule of thumb, it might be 40% more than asphalt. They're if you have a really good base, I mean, really good driveway or something like that, it's already there. And you have issues with a lot of maybe heaving type soils, a lot of people will go with asphalt. I personally don't have a preference when, you know, as long as it holds up. You know, in the northern climates, they use more asphalt because there's more, you know, freeze, thaw, things like that. In some cases, there may be a little bit more maintenance on asphalt, depending on if you keep up on the concrete maintenance like you should. In a lot of cases, it comes down to on the edges of the asphalt. Well, how do I, you know, do I just want the asphalt to fall off? You know, concrete, you can have a nice sharp edge. Asphalt usually kind of has a rounded edge. It was really funny when I was teaching. I remember we were doing a bunch of studies on selling houses and that. And there was one study, and I'll never forget it. It came out that a home with an asphalt driveway sometimes sells more than concrete, only because of when the person first sees the house.
It looks nicer.
The driveway doesn't pull your vision away from the house.
Right.
You look at the house first because the driveway is darker. And I thought, and I never thought of that. So,
interesting.
Yeah, but a lot of people will see concrete as a premium. It just depends on everybody. But there is maintenance with both, and you know, you have to reseal asphalt every, you know, few years, and you know, you can't be spilling gas on it and things like that, because it's starts to deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
But it just comes down to personal preference. It really does. So.
All right. Try not to spill gas anywhere.
Yeah,
that's
really.
A good
yeah.
rule of thumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Kirk is next in Letts. Hi, Kirk.
Hi. That wasn't my question, but that was pretty informative.
Oh, hey, great. I think she made that one up then, didn't she?
Yeah, it sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, I have the water main that's in my driveway for the city to shut off and turn on my water.
Okay.
And when I bought the house, there wasn't a cap on it. Well, I ran into an issue where I had to have the water shut off, and they broke two of those long wrenches trying to turn it off. There's something down in that tube.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, first question is, do you know any way to get anything out of that tube? Because it's, like, probably 4 feet down, maybe five. And the second is, how far out do I have to bust out the concrete to get a good hole to fix this?
Yes.
I wish you could see Bill's face, Kirk, because He's rubbing his
head. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I said, oh, man, I'm glad that's you. Sorry. But, you know, I tell you what, we don't know what's down in there, because if they didn't have the cap, it might be just some.
The matchbox car.
Yeah, there you go. You know, now, maybe there's a way you can vacuum it out, you know. And I'm just spitballing here. Maybe vacuum it out. Now, I don't know if they make these longer grabbing tools. You know, I have one that's about 3 feet long that on the end, it's kind of like a spring. You push this little button, and then these little claws open up, and then you can pick up nuts and bolts when you're working on something, and like in an engine, you can pick them up. I don't know if they make a longer one. I try as best I can, maybe something like that, or maybe put something that has a really strong adhesive on the end, like a piece of maybe broomstick or dowel that you can reach down that 5 feet or 6 feet or so, that maybe will stick to what's down there and pull that up. I'd try that, maybe, you know, a really sticky adhesive, and maybe leave it there overnight and then pull it up. Because if you can't get it out, you're going to have to dig it up anyway. So, you know, try that. But yeah, you're going to have to cut the size of a hole that's probably, I think the minimum would be 6 feet by 6 feet. And that's only because that soil is soil that's been disturbed, and we don't want it caving in. You may end up doing an area that's 10 foot by 10 foot so that soil doesn't cave in on you or whoever is fixing it. And that's what's scary. It's not so much, yeah, I can dig a hole and I can get down there and work on it, but it has to be safe for someone to be down there that the concrete or the soil won't cave in on. So you may be taking out a pretty good chunk of the driveway.
Wow, that sounds
great.
Yeah,
it is. It's you know, in the past, we took a lot of chances where we shouldn't have. And so you do not want to have a square edge of soil, especially soil that's been disturbed because they originally had a trench. We don't know how big the trench was, and we don't want that soil caving in on somebody. So you may be doing a pretty good sized hole to get to it.
All right. Well, Kirk.
Yep,
luck
sorry.
With that project. Thanks a lot for
your
call.
You should have stuck with the first question. And
that was a Kurt. This is a Kurt.
Oh, all right.
All right. So Luke is up next from Des Moines. Hi, Luke. Oh.
See?
Luke's not there either. All right. Let's do a couple email questions here because we have a lot of them, as I mentioned before.
Good.
Jocelyn sent this. I have an old garage floor that's stained and sealed, water beads on the surface, and it's extremely slippery when it gets wet. I'd like to add a top coat with anti-skid material, but I'm worried that it won't adhere. And there's a large crack in the floor. If I add a top coat, do I have to fill the crack first or after?
I'd fill it first and then put they make kind of a non-slip surface. It almost looks like a blowing type sand that when you put down epoxy paints, like in garage floors, you throw this into the paint so you have a non-slip surface. Wherever you get the floor sealer, you want to make sure that this one will adhere to the one that was there, because hopefully you know what the brand was before, and so that they're compatible, because some floor finishes do not stick to each other, and that's a really good point to bring up. So you may have to put a bonding agent on what's there. But if you know what brand and what type is on your existing floor, then you can find out what's going to stick to it. And then whoever you buy that from, just tell them that I need to have a non-skid type finish, and they will give you the type of material that mixes with the sealer so it won't be so slippery. But I would seal it first, and then that way when you put your new coat across the top of it, then it'll be smooth.
All right. And another email question here. This one is from Stephanie in Cedar Rapids. I want to install a basketball hoop next to my driveway. It would be between the edge of the driveway and a very large tree. I'll call the one call people before I disturb any soil.
Good.
But I'd like to know your recommendation for the depth. Do I need to go down the full 47 inches to the frost line, or can I get away with a more shallow pour? I'm also concerned that I'll damage the root system of the tree.
Well, you're not going to be digging a very big hole, you know, for a basketball hoop. And so
and you're not going to be driving on it.
No, you're not going to be driving on it. But I would, you know, the thing is, it's not so much the heaving for frost, it's the kids hanging on to this thing because they're going up and they're going up 10 feet. You know, even if they can't get up there, you know darn well they're going to get on a truck or jump off a truck and grab the hoop just to be neat. You know, they're just going to goof around. So,
you have to think about dunking.
I know. So you've got all this leverage. So you have to be able to go down in the ground far enough that it's going to hold that, you know, hold that pole. So I would go the 4 feet and then pour concrete around it.
Okay.
So at least a 12-inch diameter hole.
All right.
If it's a homemade one, that's why a lot of people are going with these ones that have the water-filled base on them.
Right. All right.
One other point, though, a lot of times along that concrete, even though you call one call, the owner, maybe previous to you, if there was one, may have run an electrical line or a gas line going to a gas grill sometimes along the concrete. And or they may have run some other line and didn't call anybody to get a permit. So if you're doing the digging, hand dig that first couple feet very slow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Yes.
Steve is up next in Kansas City. Hi, Steve.
Hey. All right.
Well, hey, how are you guys doing?
Super.
Well, glad to hear it. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
I'm fortunate that my driveway is perfectly level and has no cracks, but I have a lot of the pitting and spalling that probably went on from salt over the years, which we didn't put on the driveway, but we use a lot of salt.
Not your fault.
Yeah, okay.
Honestly, this spalling's been going on for a long, long time. So my question simply is, what's the best way to address that? Do you have someone come in and put a cap on it, or is that something I can do myself to level it out and make it look good again, or what would you suggest?
Yeah, they have, you know, there's some like Quikrete and Saycrete companies. They have some toppings that can go over the top if they're not real deep. It's just basically a leveling cement because your climate in Kansas City is a lot different than we're at.
Right.
Yeah, and so I would go to there again, and maybe just make a quick call to the Missouri Ready Mix Association. I'm sure they have one because Iowa has one.
Okay.
And ask them, what's compatible in your area again. But, yeah, there's a ton of stuff. You can even go online, like I said, Quikrete, Saycrete. They make products that you just basically put on a bonding agent. You super clean it. You put on a lot of times a bonding agent. And you kind of – a lot of times they'll just take like a big squeegee and go over the whole thing.
And that's going to lengthen the life of the
driveway? Yeah, lengthen life and level it. But like I say, because this climate's so much different, you're lucky.
It's tropical.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Anything south of Highway 20 is the tropics. Yep.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot for
your
call. Mike in Fort Dodge.
Oh,
next.
No.
Hi, Mike.
Uh-oh.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've got a big tree. And it's got the roots, they're coming up. You can see them, of course, in the lawn. But
it's broke. We're losing you, but it's broken up the corner of the driveway. What does he do about that in 45 seconds?
You're either going to have someone take care of the roots or you're going to have to cut that concrete out because the roots are going to keep growing and it's going to keep lifting. And hopefully it's a corner that maybe you can cut it out and just put in some gravel because one of them is going to have to go. You know, either the concrete's going to have to go or the roots. So if you kill the roots, you may kill the whole stinking tree. And maybe you cut out a chunk and put in gravel or maybe put some pavers in that area. That you can adjust. I don't like seeing cutting the roots out because sometimes depending on how size of it, that may be an anchoring type root, and then you may weaken it. Strong storm, it may end up on your house.
Drastic, but you never know. You have to choose the tree or the driveway.
That's right.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Mike, and we are out of time. Bill McAnally, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charity. Thanks a lot.
Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, he'll come back next month to answer more of your questions on Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Have a great day.